Mighty Couch Potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Cobb.
And I'm Neil Miller, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies. This, we're in the middle of December.
Almost Christmas time.
We're hanging out.
We're ready to go.
Almost there to Christmas.
Less than 2 weeks of shopping days until Christmas.
We're both still alive. We're also halfway through.
Were we supposed to die during Christmas? Was this in the cards?
Well, it's a tough time for critics because it's awards season.
It's a busy time. We're talking five to seven movies a week. Oh, my Lord.
Yeah, all those free movies.
And not all good ones.
Oh, they're all terrible, too. This week, though, we're going to talk about a wide range of movies, starting with I Am Legend, the Will Smith actioner that has been made now three times into a movie. We're also going to talk about Alvin and the Chipmunks, which is a cartoon favorite of mine from way back in the day. And by back in the day, we're talking, it was
like
a Wednesday. No, it was a Wednesday.
Oh, okay.
That's a Dane Cook reference for you. And we're also going to talk about The Perfect Holiday and see if The Perfect Holiday can make a perfect holiday season for us.
Ooh. Oh, isn't that brilliant? How long do you think about that one?
That just came to me right now.
Wow.
It was directly from the heavens.
Well, before we can get in our reviews, tell us how the kind people can get in touch with us.
If you would like to get a hold of us, maybe listen to some of our other shows, click on some ads, something like that. FatGuysAtTheMovies.com. You can also get us on iTunes. Just go to the iTunes store, search Fat Guys at the Movies, and, we show right up. You can email us, fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com, or if you would like to, give us a call, 614-388-8735, 614-388-TREK.
To go along with our HD DVD review of Star Trek.
Star Trek that we were just perusing.
Which we didn't do, but Brian Gibson did.
Yeah, and he's a fat guy that's not on the show.
He's a fat guy at the movies.
He's a fat guy. Well, he is at the movies. He's a fat guy in the field.
Yes.
Okay.
But
cool.
Let's talk about somebody who's not a fat guy, unless you talk PHAT. That would be Will Smith. We're going to first hit I Am Legend. Will Smith plays a last man on Earth after a virus wipes out 90% of the population and turns the survivors into zombies.
Nothing happened the way it was supposed to happen. 6 billion people on Earth when the infection hit. I am a survivor living in New York City. I will be at the South Street Seaport every day at midday when the sun is highest in the sky. God didn't do this. We did.
Now, Kevin, of the 6 billion people that are on Earth, I can think of a lot that could very reasonably get a virus and turn into a zombie. And
I can think of quite a few that I'd like to see
get
a virus.
And we're going to talk about later in the show when we do our...
Most of the people at the screening with us at I Am Legend.
Our top 10 most annoying people to see a movie with,
yes.
Basically. But one person
Some of them we can give by name, but we won't.
Wow. One person that I would not like to see go away is Will Smith. Because no matter what Will Smith does, this movie included, it's at least good. They're not always great films, but they're always at least entertaining enough for me to walk out of the theater and say, oh, that wasn't bad. It wasn't a waste of my time.
Yes, pretty much since Wild Wild West, I wouldn't say there's anything that I'm like...
Well, Fresh Prince, I mean, I could watch that straight.
Well, yeah.
Like seasons upon seasons.
That's because you love Will Smith. That's why you have
that
naked poster.
And I'm Alfonso Ribeiro. I learned my dance moves.
Two of you guys. That's right.
Anyways.
No, but I you're right. Will Smith, you're pretty much guaranteed that what he does hasn't really sucked. It's been okay, at the very least. Okay, sometimes really awesome. So, but I'll tell you, this movie, it's been made. This is the third time version of I Am Legend has been made.
Right.
I've seen the Omega Man. I actually went online because you can download for free since it's public domain. The Last Man on Earth with Vincent Price, which is really kind of funny to watch after seeing this version of I Am Legend because it's so vastly different. But I enjoyed it. I thought it ran a little long in the beginning. It's hard to carry, and I'll tell you, I appreciated him talking to the dog much more than I appreciated Tom Hanks talking to a volleyball through half of a movie.
Yeah.
And it was a little soft on the ending, but otherwise it was a decent movie. I just wish I had seen it with a better audience.
Right. I think that I appreciated the scale of the film. I love the fact that when they did pullback shots of New York, how it really did look, this is what New York would look like in 2012.
With the exception of the brand new cars on the side of the road after 3 years of the apocalypse.
But. Right. But, I mean, just the grandness of the film was very impressive, and I thought that was well done. I thought Francis Lawrence, the director, did a good job of keeping the story moving. It's very difficult when you have ultimately one central character and a dog.
Yeah.
And that's it.
The dog was a great actor, though.
Right. It's very hard. The dog was a great actor.
Yeah.
I mean, when it came down to the, you know, anyways. Yeah. But I thought the only thing that was just, it felt like it's almost like the producers in Hollywood are got caught passing notes this year about don't put any score in your films, because this was one of those movies, and it's meant to be in kind of an intense thriller, but it had these moments where there's no score, so there's no music, and it's very quiet, and then all of a sudden Will Smith like talks,
yeah,
and it's a jump moment for me, at least, because I jump at everything.
That's great. You're
it made every single moment of the film frightening, which,
yeah. Well, I guess if you felt that way, that was probably intended.
It was the intended effect. I don't necessarily know if it was needed throughout the entire film, but it worked when it really, really needed to work. It was a very frightening, intense experience until, like you said, until the end. It kind of fizzled.
It fizzled at the end, and the thing is, it was one of those movies that I did enjoy it. It just felt there was a little bit lacking, but compared to like The Omega Man and The Last Man on Earth, this movie was a huge step up.
Right.
The zombies were cool, but they were overly CGI.
I agree. And I will say this now that the movie is coming out. When we were in LA after Comic-Con, we went and we visited the creature shop where the creatures were made. Patrick Tatopoulos made the creatures.
Great. I love this.
Fantastic creatures. And when we saw them, they were awesome, and we were like, wow, these are going to translate so well onto that medium. But what happened was they took those models and they really kind of CG'd them, and it really took a lot of the – it almost took a lot of the humanity out of them.
Well, it was – they didn't seem real. I kept expecting them to go, I am Beowulf, you know, at some point in the movie, which would have seemed very appropriate to the CGI.
Or just scream out, I am Legend.
I am Legend. There you go. Yeah, I am Legend. I am Beowulf. They could run. You know, cool. I'm Will Smith, and they could yell at each other, and the dog could lift its leg. Or it was a girl. Female dog. Yeah, you know.
But overall, I'm going to say kind of rocks. Definitely worth going to see if you have interest in it.
I'm going to say kind of rocks. Check it out, and check it out on the big screen.
All right. We will be back.
Transformed. We have transformed. As you can hear, we are now chipmunks in honor of the Chipmunk movie and in honor of our bumper music, which is the chipmunk singing the classic.
Because it's Christmas
song.
And stuff, too, right?
It is. It's Christmas time.
Wow, I sound funny.
Yeah, you do. Well, what we did is we just filled the room with helium and had at it. Here's the fat guys.
Our producer, Richard, has not moved for the last 5 minutes, so we're pretty sure he's dead.
You know, that we have that problem all the time. We go through producers like candy on this show. But before we move on, Neil's losing it here. Maybe there was something more than helium that we let in the room. But we're going to discuss, and just because it's easier technically, this whole segment's going to be as chipmunks, because we want to honor the chipmunks. And so the people who made The Perfect Holiday, Tough Beans, you're going to get us reviewing your movie as chipmunks.
As chipmunks. I mean, why not?
Because that's the way we are. That's how we roll.
That's just, yeah.
And we figure if we have our voices higher, we actually don't sound as fat as we normally do.
We sound girlier, though.
I don't know if I'd say girlier.
Chipmunkier.
Chipmunkier, yeah. We got the squeaky little Chippendale type voice.
Play the trailer.
Yes, here we go. We got Alvin and the Chipmunks coming up. We're singing chipmunks. Alvin, Simon, and Theodore become stars while Earl Hickey tries to keep them in line.
Won't you take me to Funky Town?
Will you guys knock it off? It's 3 in the morning.
Funky Town.
Alvin?
Won't you take
Alvin?
Me to Funky Town?
Alvin! Whoa, Theodore, did you just...
Relax, Dave. It's just a raisin.
Prove it. Okay.
Dude, you owe me big time.
Won't you take me to Funky Town?
Neil?
Yeah, what?
Neil! We're just having too much fun with this.
I was so disappointed that I didn't get to see this film because I...
You're lame and you didn't go to the screening?
Well, I didn't want to get up early on a Saturday.
Lame.
But I was also such a big fan of the Chipmunks from, like... the cartoon days when I was little. It was Ghostbusters, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the Chipmunks.
The trifecta of quality
and,
children.
And like Knight Rider. And that was what I was into when I was little.
And Transformers.
Well, Transformers came later.
when you were in your formative years.
Yeah, but do you know the history of the Chipmunks?
Do you know
where they got started?
Throw it out there. That song that we listened to in the bumper, the Christmas song, mm-hmm. that was actually that was the first thing they released. They recorded the song.
Funky Town?
No, not Funky Town. They recorded the song Witch Doctor. Ooh, ee, ooh, ah, ping, yeah. Ding, bang, bang. Because the guy who was basically Dave Seville wrote Witch Doctor, sang it, sped up, and they said, oh, this is funny, let's release this Christmas song. Started in the records. Right. And then eventually got cartoons and short film, mm-hmm. Short, you know, TV specials and stuff like that. And they had a movie like 10, 15 years ago, animated. So it actually started in recording. And that's what I actually liked about this movie is that it didn't trample on the original story. It kind of was the original story.
I think that we were discussing it earlier in the week about Underdog and how
it has nothing to do with the movie Underdog. Yeah. Same thing with Garfield. Like, when they brought Garfield to the big screen, it was like, yeah, okay, Garfield was the same, but John was different, and Liz was different, and Odie was a real dog, and he wasn't that big slobbery mess that he is in the comics.
Right.
And I was like, well, you have something that works, just mm-hmm. stay with it. And yeah, that's what they do with the Chipmunks.
I know you poked fun at Transformers, but you have to at least be...
Does everything have to be
respectful to the source material. You know, if you're going to make Transformers, you have to make them like the Transformers in the movie.
Which is like
in the original.
Well, and I wrote a review for Film School Rejects this past week or so. The Batman mm-hmm. animated series is actually some of the best adaptations you'll see, because you don't have production designers and directors trying to put their own unique spin and special things and trying to make it too big. Whereas really the best comic book adaptations you see in animated films is on the weekly series that they have on Cartoon Network. Yep.
Here's what I'd say, because I know there's a lot of screenwriters sitting at home listening to our show. Mm. So right now they're not doing anything else.
That's right.
Except striking. Are you taking notes? Because you need to be more faithful to that. Because all we talk about nowadays are adaptations.
Yeah. Well, so especially this year.
You need to be more faithful to the source material. And you know what? Stop trying to be cool, okay?
Yeah.
All right? You're cool enough just working in Hollywood. Just stop trying to be cool with these movies and make honest movies that are, you know, that bring us back to our childhood. Similar to what Transformers did, similar to the CG Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Oh, yeah, which was great.
You know,
great movie.
Make movies like that. Don't make movies that just try and redefine, you know, like Halloween. Don't make movies that try and redefine classic.
Yeah, don't reimagine something. Just adapt it from its original source.
Yeah, so.
I liked Alvin and the Chipmunks. I took my kids. They absolutely love it. Yeah, it has fart humor. Yeah, it has some...
I actually have a story.
Okay.
One of our good friends, Dave Metzger, we were talking at dinner this evening mm-hmm. about the Alvin and Chipmunks screening. He said he enjoyed it more because sitting down the row from your son, I think it was your oldest son.
My youngest son,
who just laughed.
He was giggling through
the whole
thing. And a couple times I saw Dave look over and just sort of giggle because Dave's got much younger. He's an infant. A
couple months old.
Which he neglects to bring to movies, which is awesome. I applaud Dave for that. But I could see him looking down and sort of projecting what his own son's going to be. And I said to him, I'm like, you realize in a year or two, you're going to be going to all of these Saturday morning screenings and bring your kid. And even if it's excruciating for you, you're going to love it. And there is a certain thing about it that when you become a parent, you have kids and you can look at the movie from the kid's point of view.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you like. And they loved it. It was fun. And it wasn't always funny, but Jason Lee was better as Dave Seville than he was as Underdog.
Mm-hmm.
And Dave
Cross. Because he doesn't look like a dog at all.
No, he doesn't. Although it was Earl Hickey without the mustache. But it was, but David Cross was in it and he was good. He wasn't perfect, but he was still pretty funny.
It's David Cross. He's always funny.
So I give a kind of rocks for this one.
Awesome. Let's move on to the next movie.
Next one is The Perfect Holiday, where Gabrielle Union and Morris Chestnut find love in the time of Christmas.
She's a single mom with three kids.
You know what I want more than anything?
What?
Just a nice, normal man.
Even a not-so-nice man.
He's a single Santa with an oversized helper.
I'm Santa's number one elf.
More like numbers 1 through 10. Nice tights.
Tell your mama.
They should have been perfect for each other, but his big line...
Yeah, so, you know, I was... sell office supplies.
Is a lie.
Do you ever need anything?
I'm sure I'll need whatever you have by way of office supplies.
Now, Kevin, are you going to trash another urban movie year?
No, actually, this is the thing. I really liked this Christmas.
I'm setting you up to be the good guy here.
Not This Christmas. I didn't see that one.
Perfect Holiday,
which was actually originally going to be named This Christmas, and they had to change it.
And then they realized that there's
another
movie out.
Yeah.
Titled movie out twice in one
week. This movie was actually really charming and fun, and I was watching it and thought to myself, this is really cute. I found myself laughing at the right parts. I got wrapped up in the characters. And I think part of the thing I liked so much about this is it wasn't out to change the world. It was to make just a cute little Christmas movie, self-contained, you know, people being nice to other people.
With Gabrielle Union, who's hot.
Who's totally hot. And then when she's like, you can help me out with anything you've got, I'll be like, all right. Because she is just one of the most gorgeous women in Hollywood.
Do you still have that cheerleader uniform?
I wish
you
did. Oh, yeah. I'd recreate a whole scene from History of Violence with that cheerleader outfit.
Wow.
But which doesn't sound as bad as it actually does. But
it's bad.
Just forget it. Just forget I said that. It is a chipmunk voice, no less. But The Perfect Holiday, and it had like Queen Latifah and Terrence Howard, who's Terrence Howard is so overexposed right now. But even
he seems like he's just like he's out there like working the corner in Hollywood.
Oh my lord,
it's bad. Like I just remember talking to him at Comic-Con about Iron Man. He's gonna be in one of the biggest movies of 2008. And then I see him in this movie, and I'm like, man, he was
Awake and he was in The Brave One. He's been in everything.
He must need some weed.
I think he's got his own sex tape coming out.
Like, seriously,
but he was he played sort of like the naughty spirit, and Queen Latifah played Christmas Nights. You know, naughty and nice.
Oh.
And they were actually really funny. I mean, they had some lines in there that completely took me by surprise, and I laughed hysterically at. Like I said, I kind of fell in love with the character. And it was funny because they weren't trying to be funny. They were just funny. Charlie Murphy's hilarious in it.
Charlie Murphy.
And Cat Williams is hilarious in it. They had a great cast and a very adorable, heartwarming story. And it was one of those that I went to the movie and I was grumpy and I was PO'd about I forget what. And I got to watch the movie. I came out. I was like kind of happy. Yeah. So
aren't you just a bundle of positivity today?
It's the chipmunk voice.
I wish I would have saw these movies so that I could hate one of them, but I can't.
Yeah, I don't think you would have hated either of them.
Yeah, see, that's the
problem. I think you would have liked Alvin and the Chipmunks.
I think so too. So I have a good. And you know what? The Perfect Holiday. I like all those sappy movies, anyways.
Yeah, it was.
So if you're like me, go see everything this weekend.
See everything.
If you live in Columbus,
go see every single movie.
If you live in Columbus, we're now on a drive to get ourselves. We're the 23rd biggest market, and if we get into the top 19. That's a big deal to film critics because that makes us like really cool.
Are you talking about us getting on the radio?
Columbus. No, not us on the radio. Just if you live in Columbus, go out and buy 6 tickets to each movie for every weekend from now on. It's an inside thing.
Okay.
Give us your grade for the Perfect Holiday.
Perfect Holiday kind of rocks.
All right. Fair enough. This ends our segment of chipmunkiness.
Merry
Kevin.
Won't you take to Funky Town? Talk about it.
And welcome back, Fat Guys at the Movies. We are back to our normal voices.
Yes, don't say anything silly because it just sounds stupid.
Now you just sound like you hit your head too many times when you were a kid.
Yes.
Anywho, we're going to talk about the box office. We'll start with last week.
We're going to talk about the B.O.
Yes, and the donkey punching that the Golden Compass got this week.
You know, I'm going to just start off. Can I just like blast into something here?
Go ahead.
What irritates me about this is the Catholic League is now running around going, we kept people away because it was atheistic, and the U.S. Council of Bishops or whoever pulled their positive review because they're afraid that people didn't see this movie because it was atheistic.
That has nothing to do with it.
I'll tell you exactly why. You ask anybody what The Golden Compass was about, you know what they're going to say? Huh? It's that movie the Catholics didn't like.
Yeah.
No one's going to be able to explain what the movie's about. And when I was on the radio last week doing my call-ins around the country and stuff, I was there constantly, okay, what's The Golden Compass about? And I'm like, it's about these people in another universe who have these spirits next to them that are in animals, and then they kind of go up north, and there are these wicked cool polar bear fights and blah. And I had no way of just distilling it down to one sentence.
There's polar bears that fight.
Yeah.
That's all you need to know.
And it's, I realize what it is. No one knows what the movie's about, and no one can get what, they get that it looks cool.
Well, I mean, and it's not as simple as The Lord of the Rings. Lord of the Rings was like a 25-hour trip.
Oh, it's a 3 movie, and you say it's about people who need to throw a ring in a mountain.
Exactly. It's like, here's a ring.
That's the movie.
They couldn't simplify it. It's really very tough. And I was, I heard a story, Kristen Dreyer Kramer actually told me a story about a woman and near her at the screening. At the end was just
of
like...
Of Golden Compass?
What?
Oh, is that the woman? She yelled what because it didn't end. It kind of set it totally set itself up for a sequel.
Right.
Like The Lord of the Rings, where if you watched Fellowship of the Rings, they're like, and we're just... Time for lunch, people. We're going to the next movie. You got to wait a year.
Right.
So, but that's the thing. And that's what irritates me is I'm like, no, people didn't stay away because of this little who gives a crap dillhole group that was like, you might read the books and think that the Catholic Church is bad. It was
no, you can read the news.
Yeah, it was, but nobody could tell you what the movie's about, and that's why it didn't do well.
Right, I think it will probably do well overseas.
It is doing well overseas.
It will have a good life on DVD. I hope that it makes enough to where New Line can make the second and the third.
Oh, they never will. I can't imagine a universe
because,
or a parallel universe where they would make
with polar bears that fight.
Polar bears, wicked cool polar bear fights.
Because I heard it was actually a very good movie.
It was a solid outing. Yeah, I mean it was worth seeing. I thought it was decent.
Right. So very disappointing that it only made $26 million though. It was expected to make a lot more.
Oh yeah, it was supposed. It was supposed to do
Ratatouille territory.
Well, it was the thing. And what movie was like this just recently where the predictions just kept getting smaller and smaller. They're like going, well, on Wednesday, they're like, it's going to make 30-some million. Then on like Friday, they're like, it's probably going to make 30. And then it comes out early estimates. Oh, it's probably going to be 28 million. And then it like comes in at 26. And then when they get the real numbers, it's like 25 and a half.
Right. And the tough part is it's a movie that it cost $180 million to make.
Which was stupid. What they should have, because you know what? That's the cost of the entire Lord of the Rings series.
Right.
It was $180 million, and they took advantage of the whole exchange ratio to New Zealand. They should have just gone and made all 3 movies for $180 million. And that way, if they said, well, okay, this one didn't make enough money, and they're like, well, we're already halfway through. Give us some money for post, and we'll do the next 2.
Right. And it's not like We're not talking about $150 million. Like, Transformers was $150
million.
God,
again with Transformers. Good God.
And it rocked everybody's
mind. Transformers
was
the greatest movie ever.
It actually owned the souls of many people.
I know. Optimus Prime, so, I did hear, owned some souls.
Yes. Coming in second was Enchanted at $10 million, and then it dropped off to This Christmas at $5 million, and everything else was below $5 million. But I will say, No Country for Old Men, strong. Last weekend, finishing sixth, up from 10th. It's rising on the box office charts because it's
well
spreading.
Expanded too.
It's expanding, and it has been in the top three every day during this week.
Yeah, well, the most impressive stuff with No Country for Old Men was how well it did when it was like in 50 theaters.
Right.
It was in the top 10.
And I think the interesting thing is this week we saw a lot of critics associations come out and say, you know, it got Best Picture, but from a lot of different associations. So I think it will finish even higher this week.
It's getting that push.
It is.
I think that's the one
push.
That's going to be like the Million Dollar Baby or the movies that get that Oscar seat and then just kind of roar into January.
Yep. I think this week you're going to see I Am Legend up top because
it's
Will Smith. I mean, this thing's going
to
make $120 million in its theatrical release, no matter what. It's just that's the Will Smith formula. You put Will Smith on a movie poster, you make $100 million.
Yeah.
Not in the first weekend, of course, but over, you know, in the end.
Yeah.
And I think you're going to see Alvin and the Chipmunks come in second.
Alvin,
the family's going to flock to
this. I'm
going to
predict that Alvin and the Chipmunks is going to do a lot better than they thought, simply because it's a strong family thing, and they're playing the heck out of it. And unlike the Golden Compass, which was heavily marketed the family shows, you can sit there and say, what's it about? It's about singing chipmunks.
Right. And I think then you're going to see Enchanted, and then No Country, and then the Golden Compass, I predict, in fifth.
Oh, Golden Compass is going to plummet. Yeah, I think you're right. Well, it's a couple things to note about last weekend is The Mist, while it was at number 10, it has now grossed, as of last weekend, it grossed $23 million, which is more than its budget. So it's actually it's going to clear easy, and it's going to be a profitable movie for the Weinstein Company, but it was such an embarrassment of how it just didn't grab the box office.
Right.
I think they were like hoping that it would be huge. But with an $18 million budget, that's actually relatively easy to recoup, unlike something like Grindhouse, which cost, what, $50 million or something?
Right, and it made 25 in its first weekend and did nothing from
there. It barely cracked 30.
They've released the DVD in two different versions here, two different versions. There will be 7 DVD releases until they make that money back.
Oh, yeah. Well, and they're going to come out. I know that somewhere, and it may even be on the board, they're doing a double disc of the whole thing, the whole Grindhouse experience, which if you were stupid enough to buy Planet Terror or Death Proof on its first release, you're an idiot.
Yeah. Hey, I bought.
And then the travesty is the fact that Fred Claus is still trucking in there, and actually it's a crappy movie, and it's doing okay.
Right.
Shame on it.
There you have it. That's a prediction.
You were so excited. We're putting the host to sleep.
Man.
Here.
Anyways, so we have some house cleaning to do.
That's right. We're getting rid of people. Richard, you're out of here. But he's dead already, sitting in the chair.
From the helium. Anywho.
Helium's an inert gas, dude. Unlike what comes out of my body, which is not. Trust me.
Maybe he had an allergic reaction to helium.
I tested that theory earlier, didn't I?
But we had a contest. This is probably about 3 or 4 shows back where we launched our Jack Bauer caption contest. Now, don't confuse this with the Simpsons one. The Simpsons one is still going.
And we have another
Simpsons DVD comes out.
Total kick-ass contest coming up in January. You don't want
to
miss
that. We're trying to plan to get, you know, at least 2 a month for you here on Fat Guys Movies. And I think people love the caption contests.
Oh, they're going crazy.
People are starting
to
get it.
We got That 70s Show is also.
Well, that's not a caption contest, but that's a Fat Guys contest.
Yes.
So you can go over to filmschoolrejects.com and hit contests in the menu there, and it'll bring up That 70s Show is still going on. Also, the Simpsons contest, we're still taking entries for another, I think, week or so.
Yeah.
But the Jack Bauer contest. And if you remember, 24 season 6, we're giving away 3 copies. If you remember how this one went down, it was the picture of Jack Bauer, myself, times 2, and Kevin as
yelling
an agent.
At Jack Bauer.
Yelling at Jack Bauer. And then a random naked Kevin in the
prancing
background.
Prancing around in the background. That was.
So we're going to read to you the 3 winning captions that we selected because, well, we are the committee.
Yes.
And
it's not just the quickest person to get their name in, or you don't send us 19 million emails.
Right.
It's the ones that amuse us the most.
Right. And it's really more about amusing us than it is about anything else.
We reward creativity on this show.
So do you want to read the first one?
I don't have the list. Do you have the first one?
Hold, I'll bring it up here.
Am I going to read the first entry on the page that we win? You read the one that you like the most. I'll read the first one, then you read the one you like the most, and then I'll read the last one.
This one was my favorite one. It came from...
Well, don't you want me to do one first, then you, then me?
Oh, yeah, sorry. Okay. You go
I'll
ahead.
Do the first one.
You go with the first one.
Go to filmschoolrejects.com/contest/caption contest. But look, search Fat Guys at the Movies, Jack Bauer or whatever.
Right.
You can find this site. We'll put a link on the show. This is from Harry Barbie, which I don't think is his real name.
I hope not. That's kind of a funny name.
But his caption is, "Yes, I let one on the plane."
Short, sweet, perfect.
Beautiful. And just look at Jack Bauer's face, and it makes sense now. And that's why I'm so mad and my head's so huge.
My choice was one that was emailed in to us, and it was came from J.M. Charles. And it said, "I'm so sorry. I promise I will never tear the label off a mattress again." Which I laughed for a good like 4 hours because I never saw that one coming.
What's so funny about that is when I was a kid, I actually tore up a mattress label to my bed. I mean, it was like my mattress. And for some stupid reason, my dad was mad at me.
Yeah.
And he like literally told me that the police were going to get me. Because
I don't know if there was like a... That generation, like the 70, like people,
and I was like,
who
in
scared
tears.
The crap out of a generation worth of people?
I don't know.
My parents the same way, like, well, don't tear that.
Yeah, and what was so funny is my dad was like dead serious, and I'm crying. And then I got older, and I'm like, what the hell? This is a consumer only. Well, this is for people who sell it. And I was in tears. I was serious, and I felt like Jack Bauer in that picture.
Okay.
So there you go. This next one comes from Mary. Just simply Mary. Mary, quite contrary, says, and this is a long one, so, you know, here. You have to look at the picture. Jack, dressed as Jesus, stared ahead in disgust. This was the worst Halloween party he had ever attended. 2 Jimmy Kimmels, 1 human Pez dispenser, and an R. Kelly lookalike. Totally lame.
That one wins based on the Jimmy Kimmel thing, because that's so funny. I did not realize it looked like Jimmy Kimmel.
What I loved about that was it was all like, she hit everything. She got, except for the picture of me in the background. But we'll give it. There are a couple people who noticed that, and we were so close to getting those, but some of these were just the cleverness.
I will say, and in future contests, keep an eye out for the random naked Kevin.
Yes.
It's almost like a Where's Waldo thing. I think our producer, Richard, who does all the designs on these pictures, absolutely loves to just throw that in everywhere.
We're going to like hack into the CNN site, and when they say, like, you know, bombing Baghdad.
You're just
going
to see Kevin
and there's
on
a
the
naked
scroll.
Kevin. There's going to be a naked me going, yoo-hoo, in the middle of some rubble building.
So we'll hopefully have a contest for you. Congratulations to the three winners. We'll post the winning... quotes on the post, and we'll be contacting those other folks by email.
And make sure you send us your actual address, and don't be an idiot.
And send us
and think we're going to stalk you.
We're not going to stalk you. You already made fun of us.
Because there's 2 guys and Mary. I don't even know if you're a woman.
All right, with that, we'll move on. In the second half of the show, we are going to do our top 10 movie theater douchebags list. And we're going to talk about...
You took a lot of joy in saying that,
yeah,
didn't you?
That's a powerful word. We're also going to do a little bit of talk about the Golden Globes, which nominations came out. And we may talk about Katherine Heigl again, but you never know.
She protested.
She just continues to just pop up in our minds.
Like a naked fat guy.
Exactly. We shall return here on Fat Guys at the Movies.
Welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies, and we are going to be doing our top 10 list for this week, which is the top 10 movie theater douchebags.
Douchebags.
Now,
from Boston, it's douchebags.
Douchebags.
Yeah.
Can I do a little aside here? This is relevant. I always wondered exactly what the bag was. when it came to douching. And so I looked it up on Wikipedia, my favorite reference.
I can't even believe we're doing this.
And quote, Wikipedia, a douchebag is a piece of equipment for douching. Dur. A bag for holding the water or fluid used in douching. The term douchebag can also be used as an insult. See below for slang uses. To avoid transferring intestinal bacteria into the vagina, the same bag must not be used for a vaginal douche and an enema. That's just a safety precaution for our audience out there, please. Now, here's the thing that's funny is, so apparently a douchebag's not that bad, actually, because it's where it starts, and it's better than an enema.
I don't even know what are we even doing here. Is this are we still recording the radio show? Thank God this is internet only segment, because only segment. The people that listen to us on the internet will no longer be listening to our show after this.
No, I mean seriously, I was thinking about that. I'm like going, how bad is it? Because this is what I always thought. I always thought like a douchebag would be what maybe collects when it's used is the best way I can say it, which I thought that'd be pretty bad.
No,
you know,
the
cleansed.
Idea. What I don't even
excretions.
What are you talking about?
So, anyways, anyone who wondered what a douchebag is, that's what it is, and it's also these 10 types of people.
Yes,
in the movie theater.
So this was inspired. We had a.
There's not enough beliefs in the world for this to hit the radio.
Instead of doing a douchebag of the week, which we normally do, we've decided to just list our 10 because we had an incident at a screening of I Am Legend that
filled with douchebags and enema bags.
Yes.
And douchebags that were used with enema bags.
Oh my God. It was the most atrocious thing we've ever been to. I mean, Kevin wrote a book to publicists saying, listen, this is not cool, okay?
Because I have that much power. I'm just that obnoxious.
And I
said to everybody after the screening, I said, I'm an ass, and I'm proud to be an ass, so I have no problem with it.
Right. And let me preface this with a little story. There was an unnamed film critic,
he has a name.
Remain nameless because it's irrelevant at this point, who made a comment to somebody. Basically what happened was a kid and another guy were going for the last seat in the house.
The thing was, first of all, they let more people in the screening.
Too many people in.
Too many people, and there were people standing.
Right.
And there were no seats, and then one opened up.
And these two guys, one on one end of the row, one on the other end, both go kind of just barreling over people to get to the seat. And then so one guy finally wins, and the other guy, who I ultimately felt bad for.
Which I didn't, because he clambered over like two dozen people to get to the seat.
So he lost out on the seat, and he is walking away. And, you know, he's frustrated, obviously, that he didn't get a seat. And I felt bad because
his grandmother was mad.
And the reason I felt bad for him was not because he didn't get the seat, was because people were, like, jeering him as he is leaving. And I thought that was unnecessary. I always hate that when, you know, somebody has an unfortunate incident.
Well, he was an idiot. He literally crawled at a ridiculously fast pace over like two dozen people.
Right.
I know.
So
no
either way, the kid gets out, and as he's leaving, he's like, "Oh, this is bullshit." And a film critic who we know was standing there waiting to get a seat, which ultimately caused this problem. Waiting for people to get kicked out so that he could get a seat. Looked at the guy and said, "Oh yeah, like you're gonna get fired if you don't get a seat."
Knowing that this guy walked in, like the
knowing that this guy was there like an hour before the movie, and this film critic from a local establishment, showed up right on time, right as the movie was going to start, or 5 minutes before. And first of all, let me say this: we've been to screenings. We see all kinds of movies in all kinds of different situations.
We see literally more than 100 movies a year.
You absolutely know that you need to show up early. And second,
it's not.
Of all,
I mean,
like
and by early, you need to get there. If you're a critic, they'll hold seats, but you should get there out of respect. You know, half hour, 20 minutes ahead.
And we know. And the other thing was, this is the only screening of I Am Legend that they did. And
like,
so
when I showed up to
Perfect
Holiday, there were plenty of seats.
Yeah, I mean,
you have
to be aware. So, and here's the other thing is, and this kind of goes to our top 10 movie theater douchebags and people that just take themselves too seriously. Bug me, I guess. Every day that I spend being able to review films and see movies, I feel grateful that I can. So, you know, if for some reason I end up showing up late to a screening and there's no seats, you just have to be a man and own up to the fact that, hey, I didn't show up as early as I know that I need to be there. So I'm just not going to see the movie. Yeah.
You know? Because ultimately, it's I Am Legend. It's a Will Smith movie. It's the biggest movie of the week. They've got one screening.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, don't show up 2 minutes before. Yep.
So, and at that point, before the movie even started, the idea popped in, wow, we need to do a top 10 list about this one.
Yes.
So
because also there are like babbly kids in it, and I got kicked out.
Oh my God, it was terrible. And so in honor of the continuing to be remain nameless film critic who was a huge douchebag at our screening this week, here is our top 10
bring
movie
on the,
theater douchebags.
Bring on the douchebags.
Yes.
Do you want to do the you do the even numbers. I got to do number
okay,
one.
So number 10, starting off with the snack sneakers. These are the guys that when you sit down at the movie and the opening credits start to roll, previews start to roll, and all of a sudden they pull out of nowhere a bag of Lay's potato chips, some dip, and then you hear the.
Yeah, I always hate that.
A
it's like
beer.
The sun's
of some kind.
The lights are coming down, and I'm
yeah.
like, come on.
People that. And it's one
it's
thing.
It's a free movie half the time, anyways. It's,
right.
You know.
Either way, whether it's a free movie or whether it's one that you paid for, just, you know, it's one thing to sneak in, you know, a thing of Twizzlers, but it's a whole other thing. I've seen people.
Coming
busting,
with an overcoat.
Pulling
yeah.
out, like, Taco Bell burritos out of their pockets, and it's ridiculous.
Well, and the thing
don't
is, ultimately, with the exception of a few movies, most movies are like 100 minutes.
Right.
You know? I mean, they're like an hour.
Really? You can't get through that?
Between an hour and a half. And it's like, are you going to go into hyperglycemic shock? If you're going
right.
to do that, go to the concession
there's,
stand.
You know, that those are the reasons why you are also could be number 8 on our list, which you'll see here in a second.
Yes. Now, number 9 is the seat kicker. This is usually a kid, but it's I've had adults.
I've been this guy before, so I feel bad.
Well, but I don't mind if it's an accident, but if it's a consistent boink, 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 or somebody who's bouncing, who puts their leg on the back of the seat and bounces it. Now, I've got
or they have, like,
leg.
Restless leg syndrome.
Well, and I do restless
leg.
But the other one, bop, 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 bop. Or people who just can't sit still. But the, but what infuriates me, and this dovetails into another farther along the list, when you got a kid kicking your seat, and they keep kicking your seat, and the parent is, like, not doing anything about it. And I've yelled at kids before. I've turned around and said, hey, can you quit
I will not
my
hesitate
seat?
To smack a kid around.
I will beat you till your nose bleeds. Actually, I won't. I'll beat the parent.
Which leads us to number 8.
How?
Which, if you are like the number 10, if you are a snack sneaker that cannot wait an hour and a half for your next meal, you may become a two-seater.
I've
which
had
is
intimate experiences.
You
with
actually, we talked about it at great length on the show. Anybody who, you know, they sit down next to you and they're half on you.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like, hey, your cheek is in my lap, yeah, and I'm not paying you, and this is not the right establishment for your cheek to be on my lap.
Another funny, it's not in a good way.
Exactly.
Another funny story with the I Am Legend screening is down the row from me. There was this woman, and, you know, this show is called Fat Guys at the Movie, so I have a
we're allowed
certain,
to make fun of fat people. I'm
I have
sorry.
A certain sympathy for people who are weight,
yeah,
but this woman falls into the grossly obese, you know,
like,
the woman who has the, who for no reason
like
is,
needs the cart at the supermarket.
Yeah, well, she's also wearing those sleeveless shirts, which are just like, I'm sorry. If you're over 150 pounds, you shouldn't even go near those things.
Right, you should be wearing
and this woman's
a
wearing
burka.
This shit, and she, I swear to God, that like her leg was my son's size. I could fit, if I cut a hole in her side of her hip, I could have fit my whole family in there practically. And
you probably
guy,
could have lived off the warmth.
Well, yeah,
that
was like
years.
The Tauntaun and yeah. First Strikes Back. But she, this guy actually comes in and he was so desperate for a seat, he sits next to her. And even then, before the movie, he just got up and left.
He's like, it's
because
not
he's
worth
like,
it.
It's not worth it because it is way too moist
right.
and warm
yes.
over here.
If American Airlines is going to charge you for two seats, do not show up at my movie.
Yeah. I mean, I have all the sympathy in the world, but you know what? You know, if it were me and I were that fat and I got him, I would seriously say, I'll buy two tickets to a big movie and I would just spread out. And they go, well, you can't sit there. I go, the heck I can't. Here's two ticket stubs.
Fair enough. Moving on, number 7.
Number 7, Freddy Fingers. Now this sounds dirtier than it really is.
This is not a Tom Green movie.
This is people who do text messaging in movies. Yeah. Because And it annoys me because there's this trailer, sort of a public service announcement before movies they're playing for Kung Fu Panda. And he's there going, I see you texting. You don't think it makes a sound. It makes a sound. Click, 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 click. It's not the sound. It's the fact that this LCD light is like a miniature sun that lights up the rose box. And people are like, oh, no one will see this. And it's like, boom! You know, it's like beaming Scotty up, or Scotty beaming somebody else up. And no one's ever get... Nobody, first of all, no one ever gets any text messages that are really that important.
Unless you're a doctor and you have text message patients.
Well, yeah, but yeah, does that ever happen? Usually it's like, and I literally saw somebody look at their phone and it was like, Spencer says he loves you, mommy. And she stared at it for like 5 minutes. And I'm like, are you that stupid?
It was like a cryptic code that she had to decipher.
Spencer, who's Spencer? Spencer must mean. And so
who's Spencer?
Yeah, no one gets appropriate text, and they're all just dumb, stupid things.
Right. So. Unless you're like me and you get your email on your phone. But anyways.
But can you go an hour and a half without your email?
Yeah, I think for the most part.
Yeah. Because
Usually everybody that I need to be emailing is in the theater as well. Exactly. So. But number six is the Bluetooth Bandits, which is anybody who comes into the theater and with their Bluetooth headset on and thinks that we don't know that they're... cell phone is on and they're talking on their phone.
Yeah.
First of all, it looks like they're having a conversation with, you know, with God. They're one of those crazy people walking down the street talking to air.
I hate Bluetooth.
Because first of all, you don't expect somebody to be wearing a Bluetooth and talking on it in a movie theater. I mean, I have a Bluetooth headset. I use it when I drive. I use it sometimes when I want to look cool, but never in a movie theater. Yeah. Okay?
Well, and you know what? It not even just Bluetooth. This is all cell phone users.
Oh, yeah.
This is exactly what the conversation of every single cell phone, when people actually answer the phone, it's ring, ring. Hello? Yeah, no, I can't talk now.
I'm in a movie.
No, I'm in a movie. I can't talk now. So I'm going to have to call you later. Hang up. That's what voicemail's for.
Right. If you can't afford voicemail...
Don't even come
to the movie.
Yeah, they like answer the, just let it go to the voice, and they answer the phone and they're like, no, I can't talk. Well, then don't talk. You are talking. You're annoying people. I don't know what goes on.
You're annoying list. Kevin.
Oh, punch people out. Number five, people that annoy Kevin as well, annoying teenagers. Yes. I scared the bejesus out of these kids in Oxnard, California, seeing a movie where I just yelled at them in the middle of the theater and they got terrified because they came from sort of like trophy wife in training capital of the world.
Right.
And no one ever talks to them like that. And here comes this crazy fat guy who's like, shut up.
Yes, actually, this was...
And they left.
This was the first Paris Hilton incident, public incident.
That's right.
Was Kevin... smacking Paris Hilton in a movie.
I would so smack her.
Wow.
Not even in a movie.
Yes. Number four, geezers. Now, I will say this. I love my grandparents. They're nice people, but they know when to be quiet. Some old people, especially old ladies in red hats, do not know when to be quiet. We went to see a screening of Away from Her. Now, this is probably one of the most somber films of the year.
Yeah.
And I swear to you, it sounded like, I mean...
It was like these women had Alzheimer's and they were just identifying with
them. They were identifying with the fact that they couldn't remember their husband. It was terrible.
Yeah, and
don't,
you know what?
Don't talk to the movie. Don't talk... Don't, you know what? Don't... Old ladies will get up and start talking to people across the theater that they know.
Because they know
everyone because they've been around for 125 years.
You're not watching the Weather Channel at home. There is a plot. People are trying to follow it and you don't have to comment on things.
Right.
Duh. When was the last time you were in a movie?
And you smell like embalming fluid.
It's disgusting.
God,
this terrible. Is the thing they smell, or they smell like soup. You know,
soup.
I love soup, and I love making soup. I love the smell of soup. When you walk into a house and you've been cooking soup, but soup on a person is really gross.
It's so weird. You know, like I said, I love my grandparents, but I hate every other old person, especially those that drive. Because then the worst part is, you know, theater full of old people, I'm going to have to try and get out of the parking lot with these people.
Everybody's in Cadillacs.
And everybody's in a huge Cadillac.
When are people going to learn that the only people, the people who buy Cadillacs are old people and gangsters? That is the only people who buy Cadillacs. Everyone in the middle.
You know what, though? It at least allows them to strategically market.
That's true. You know?
It's Wheel of Fortune and BET. That's all they need to advertise on.
Oh, Okay.
So
moving on. Anyway. Number three, Crow T Robot. These are the people that think they're Joel and the bots from Mystery Science Theater 3000, but they're not. And what's even worse, it's one thing, like we saw Grindhouse and people were yelling and screaming and goofing off in the theater. And that's kind of fun because that's actually the Grindhouse experience. But when we went and saw The Brave One with Jodie Foster and his very, you know, this Oscar grab of a movie, this guy was like calling back at the screen. And at one point she's flashing back to how much she loved her boyfriend who got killed and she's having sex with him. And it's this sort of this very artsy thing. And this guy in the back's like, wow, go, yeah, baby. And I'm like, good Lord, this is The Brave One. This isn't One Night in Paris or anything. Not right. That you could see that on the big screen.
Wow. Dog. If only you could. Number two is Chatterbox. These are people that will not adhere to the first rule of going to a movie, which is
shut the
front door.
Front door, yeah.
Shut
even
your
me,
face.
I'm trying to, like, you know,
yeah, you're trying to keep
kind.
It semi-appropriate. Yes. Just go back to
Our Ratatouille episode and you'll hear us complain about.
But anyways, they will not shut up. And this is also goes to the people who, I don't know if they were the people that drove all of the sales of the Choose Your Own Adventure books when those were big back in the day, but they feel as if it's necessary to tell the characters what to do on the screen.
Yeah.
And they also, on top of that, love to critique the film. Now, as a reviewer and a critic, I critique the film, but I usually wait till after the movie is over and go home and write a review or record a radio show. It is not necessary to critique the film as it is going along.
Well, and the other thing, I have not been to a movie in a theater for at least 10 years that doesn't have a shut up type of thing before. Right. Silence is golden or whatever.
STFU.
People will watch it and they'll be like, oh, haha, that's funny. Now let me tell you about this movie as I'm talking. You know, I mean, just like they will just completely ignore it. I mean, how stupid are people?
Right. Apparently, we need to get a new warning. We need to get like Andrew Dice Clay up there. Like, hey.
Shut up.
You. Shut the hell up.
You know what I think
okay?
they should do? They should just have station people with squirt guns.
Right.
And if I owned a theater, I would. What?
Or real guns.
No, I see squirt guns.
I tell you what, though. After the first one gets shot in the freaking head for talking in the movie, people will shut up.
Well, but I think
that's only one death per theater. How many theaters?
You
got to
have
thousands?
Some warning. But wouldn't
that
it be
is less
hilarious?
Than, that is less than car accidents.
But it would be better if you just had a squirt gun and somebody's talking, just walk up. What the hell, man? What they doing? Like or a squirt bottle for cats?
Oh, yes. Anyways.
Number one, the one most douchebag whoever comes to a theater, cheap-ass parents. Now, these are the people that, and we see this all the time at screenings.
They could be any one of the other ones on the list as well.
They can also do it. But this is the thing. Screenings, these advanced screenings are free. You can't charge for an advanced screening unless it's a paid sneak. So not just the critics see it for free. Everybody else in that theater see it for free, and they're supposed to go then tell their friend how awesome it is. It's a free movie, and people don't get a babysitter. And they bring a kid in. Now, I mean, going to like a G-rated movie or a cartoon, you just accept the fact there are going to be kids in there. But it is a cartoon, so it'll keep their attention. And even a PG sort of family movie, like something like Fred Claus, which is marketed to families, I can accept kids in the movies. But I Am Legend? There is no infant in the world that is like, dude, I need to see I Am Legend before it comes out because it's so awesome.
And it has a dog in it.
And it's got a dog. It's just these people who bring the kids in, they're just too cheap to get a babysitter. Yet they'll get $30 of concessions.
Right.
They won't spend the money to get, and they don't, it's always like babies. They don't bring like little kids in because you're going to send them to a friend's house. It's because babies don't have friends because they're babies. They just poop and eat. That's all they do. But people.
Kind of like you.
Yeah, exactly. And do radio. I'm pooping and eating right now and doing radio. I'm in my element.
It was
Should we move on to honorable mentions?
Honorable mentions. The I don't know what this one.
Fat candy dude. That's a guy who gets so much stuff at the concession stand.
Is overflowing into like the seats next to
him. Well, yeah, and it's like constantly open. Generally, and tell me if this is the way you are. This is the way I am. You get your concessions. You usually burn through those concessions
by the time the trailers are
over, before the movie starts, because you get there like 20 minutes ahead, or it's you're in there for the first half hour. But I hear people opening candy like, you know, halfway through the movie. I'm like.
Right.
How much food?
Well, the
did
fat
you
candy
get?
Dude, he will also, when he runs out, get back up and go out and get more and come back.
Yeah. Well, especially now that like places like AMC theater chains will have free refills to popcorn and.
Oh yeah.
Good Lord.
I always wondered, why would you need a free refill for your popcorn? And then I see people like getting up in the middle of a movie, coming back with a full popcorn. I'm like, wow, you just ingested 17,000 calories worth of popcorn.
Well, it's like the two-seater with no arms sleeves on her on her shirt coming in.
Yes, and then the last one, in honor of the what created this list, is the pretentious film critic. First of all, heaven forbid they come into a screening late and you're the last one to sit down because you're out of there, buddy. And also, if you have to sit next to, I mean, and I'm talking really pretentious, because, you know, we, you know, us and then a lot of our friends, the guests that we've had on, we don't take ourselves that seriously as film critics.
We're named fat guys at the movies.
I mean,
come on.
Seriously. And the website we write for is Film School Rejects. I mean, we don't take ourselves that seriously, but real hardcore newspaper film critics, basically.
Real critics. Who
real
like,
film critics.
Who are concerned about award season.
People who could actually get fired for not watching a movie, because the rest of us, just this is just
a
hobby.
We just declare ourselves emperor and start writing for our own website.
Exactly. But they will scoff at the movie. They will, you know, they're just annoying people to sit by. I can't handle it.
And the only time
they're too serious about it.
The only time I ever make verbal noises in a movie is like at the end of like Santa Claus 3, when I literally said, when I saw how cheesy the ending was, I go, oh Lord, no.
Yes.
And it actually made some people laugh.
And it's always, it's the inside joke with the other film critics. You know, like I was watching Sweeney Todd and I'm sitting there, I'm smirking and you make funny faces at each other. You know, you find ways to communicate and it makes the time pass if the movie's a little dry sometimes. Not to say that Sweeney Todd was dry. We're not reviewing that till next week, but
your point,
just,
Neil?
There was no point to that. I hate
people. You just wanted to brag that you saw Sweeney Todd already.
I did, and I liked it.
All right, we're way over time.
Way over.
We got to come back and do a radio segment next, so we actually are going to be on time for that one. But we will talk to you
when we come back,
guys.
And welcome back, Fat Guys at the Movies. We're rolling in. Back on the radio here.
Thank God we're
yes.
radio. At this point, we're going to say to the radio people, do not go to the website and listen.
Do not go to fatguysthemovies.com and listen to episode 43. Do not go to the iTunes store and get us by searching Fat Guys at the Movies and then subscribing to our podcast.
It's a dangerous.
Wow. And also, just do not show up at a screening with us, because apparently we've decided that is also what needs to be a rule. So the first thing we're going to do in our sound off section is we're going to talk about.
Are you okay, Neil?
Something is going
our
on.
Our producer Richard found life back in him, and he's foraging for food like a dog.
Stealing.
That's right.
He was being that guy.
He's bringing snacks into the.
So the first thing we're going to do is we're going to launch into our 12 days of essential Christmas movies. This is something you can catch over at filmschoolrejects.com. We've decided to kick it off on Fat Guys at the Movies. We're doing the, it's the 11 days leading up to Christmas, and we're going to do the last one. We'll be on the site on Christmas.
You're working at Christmas, Neil?
Well, not really. It'll be ready to go for Christmas.
Oh, okay.
But the first one we're going to talk about is we're going to lead with Jingle All the Way.
Yes, we talked about this a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, and the point of this list is just not the 12 best Christmas movies of all time, just 12 movies that we as a staff of Film School Rejects think you should be watching this time of year. Yeah.
And we put Jingle All the Way on the list. It sort of goes hand in hand with something like Home Alone, which isn't on the list, but it's of the same ilk. And Jingle All the Way is one of those movies that it's fun, especially if you have kids. You may remember it as being, oh, that's the movie that we learned about Jake Lloyd, and then see what happened to him, Anakin Wood.
Right.
Wooden Anakin boy. But it's actually kind of a fun little movie. It's not as bad as you'd remember it.
I got to get the Turbo Man down for Jamie.
Turbo Man.
And it has Sinbad in it.
And it has Sinbad, and they're actually really kind of funny. I remember it as being a crummy movie. I remember seeing it 10 years ago and going, that kind of stunk. This year, I watched it with my kids, and we actually had a little blast. We were eating it was a pancake morning kind of thing, Saturday morning. My kids loved it. It's definitely worth checking out.
And it's even more funny and relevant now, especially if you're a consumer out there trying to get like a Nintendo Wii for your kids this year. I know that's kind of a hot item.
Well, it's based on the Cabbage Patch
Right.
That happened in the 80s, and we really didn't have something like that until... And then Jingle All the Way came out, and then after Jingle All the Way, we had Furbies and Tickle Me Elmo.
Right.
And then there was a lull, and then it was like iPods, and now it's the Wii.
The Wii, the Nintendo Wii. Yeah. It was a big... And Guitar Hero is a big one this year,
Is that
too.
A big one?
Yeah.
I don't buy Christmas gifts.
Yeah, we...
You, I rely on Santa Claus.
Nice.
So no one gets anything in my family.
So... We'll be back next week. We're gonna do another one, but the first one, Jingle All the Way. Moving along to our
what
second
they say in Finland, Jingle All the Way.
Yes, our second and final topic is the 65th annual Golden Globe Award nominations were announced this week, and the most nominated film was Atonement.
I thought the most nominated film was Epic Movie.
No, that was for the other awards.
Oh, okay.
But I'll read to you real quick just the two motion picture categories, the best picture categories. The first one is drama. We have American Gangster, Atonement, Eastern Promises, The Great Debaters, Michael Clayton, No Country for Old Men, and There Will Be Blood.
Why are there seven?
They expanded it. And what was funny,
they don't
I saw
have
an editorial.
Seven musical or comedy.
I saw a funny editorial like, yes, they expanded to seven, but they still didn't have any room for Into the Wild. Thank God.
Well, it's sort of like they're going, well, we want to do another Denzel Washington movie.
Right. We didn't have enough Denzel Washington in our Best Picture nominees. So, and it's nice to see, obviously, No Country for Old Men
that
is
should
getting
win.
Everything.
That should win.
There Will Be Blood is also very highly acclaimed. Michael Clayton doesn't deserve to be up there with these pictures. The Great Debaters, I have not seen. Eastern Promises was a good movie, but I don't think it was great. Atonement was a very impressively made film, but I don't think it stands up there with a movie like No Country for Old Men.
To me, it was like when Blood Diamond got nominated last year. I was kind of like, it wasn't a bad movie, but it was hardly the best of the year of anything.
Right, and then American Gangster, which, very good film, but still kind of anticlimactic, which seems to be the theme for this year. My favorite category, though, the films in this, in the best motion picture, musical, or comedy, they're some of the best films of the year, right here. Mm. You have Across the Universe, which is the Beatles musical, which was fantastic. You have Charlie Wilson's War, which I have not yet seen.
It's gonna suck.
Hairspray, which was awesome.
Which was really good, actually. Yeah.
Juno, which is still one of my personal favorites of the entire year. And then Sweeney Todd, which I can't really officially talk about yet. But let me just say that it absolutely deserves this nomination.
Well, I think Juno should win. Haven't seen Sweeney Todd yet. Actually, I haven't seen I've only seen Juno and Hairspray.
Right.
But of those two, I'd pick Juno.
But I think those are all pretty good. When you look at some of the actress nominations, actor, actress.
Can we just talk about the stupid ones? Because everyone's going to know that.
All right, so let's go through.
Denzel's going to
get Jodie Foster.
Jodie Foster. Who?
Nominated for The Brave One.
Who'd she pay off for that is what I want to know. Yep. I pick Julie Christie. She's still hot in her old age.
And
James McAvoy for Atonement. Who cares?
Well, he was okay in Atonement.
He was okay. That's the whole point.
Then John C. Reilly for Walk Hard in
that
the musical comedy. I get it. They're trying. It's that Borat thing from last year.
Well,
Borat was amazing as a film.
This would be like nominating Will Ferrell for Talladega Nights.
Right. It's stupid. Amy Adams was a nice one to see.
Well, the hardest one that's going to be the most level playing field is Amy Adams, Nikki Blonsky, Helen Bonham Carter, Ellen Page, and that other woman,
Marion Cotillard,
for the best actress.
LaVie and Rose.
Yeah,
that is a very very tough.
Here's
Amy
another
Adams is awesome and Enchanted
in the supporting actor roles. Here's a what the heck, John Travolta from Hairspray.
Shouldn't he be in the supporting actress?
But no, wasn't it unanimous that he was the one out of place thing in that movie?
Right.
He was not good in that movie, and that was actually the downfall of the movie.
Yes, and hopefully this does not continue, but Casey Affleck nominated for The Assassination of Jesse James by the coward Robert Ford. If this thing gets nominated for a bunch of awards, remember I said this.
He won an award for something.
Yeah, but if this thing gets nominated for a bunch of awards, I'm going to have a problem because the show is going to be 12 hours long.
Yeah.
If they have to read that title more than four times.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay?
Well, Javier Bardem should win that one.
Right.
And then another kind of like, what the heck, kind of thing. Julia Roberts, who cares about her anymore?
Yeah.
And, I don't know. I guess I'm okay with the best directors, but I don't see why they have a best picture for musical comedy, and they don't break that out for best director.
The last one, B movie, should not be in the best animated film category because it was absolutely terrible. But who are we to say? That's all we have. We will be back to wrap you up here momentarily. And we're wrapping you up here on Fat Guys the Movies, another show down the chute.
down something else.
It went down, that's for sure. But let's wrap up our reviews. The first one, I Am Legend, we both saw, and you said?
Kind of rocked.
I also said kind of rocked. And then the two movies that you saw that I did not, Alvin and the Chipmunks.
Kind of rocked.
And what was that other one?
The Perfect Holiday.
The Perfect Holiday.
Which also kind of rocked. I kind of had a kind of rocked.
Yeah, you had a kind of, you were just a bucket of positivity.
Well, I wouldn't say that. I just liked the three movies. So.
Anywho.
It was a bucket of something
else. So there you go. Just about everything that's coming out, plenty of good options out there for you, especially if you're a Will Smith fan, because there's I Am Legend.
Wait, there's not plenty of options also, for Will Smith.
Also, on a side.
I Am Legend, that's it.
On a side, if you're excited for The Dark Knight, the new Batman movie that's coming out next year, there is the 7-minute prologue of The Dark Knight. The first 7 minutes of The Dark Knight will be playing in front of I Am Legend in IMAX. Also, in the standard release of IMAX, they have the trailer for The Dark Knight. The first trailer with actual people in
and
it.
And you're one of those people who actually said to me, you said this to me the other day,
yes,
that you were going to go pay to see I Am Legend in IMAX and not see I Am Legend. You'll just leave after the Dark Knight trailer.
I already saw I Am Legend. I don't need to see it again.
Okay.
But I will pay. I want to see the prologue.
Why don't you just wait like until Saturday and then download it from whoever's going to camcorder it?
Well, my sources tell me that the prologue is not going to end up online if they can help it.
Sources
the trailer, sometime next week. So
now somebody's gonna sneak a camera into there and they'll get it.
I'm sure they will. But it'll be terrible quality. I wanna see it.
It'll be like, you know, Michael Richards' little expose in the comedy club. Somebody's gonna have a cell phone.
Yep. So and next week we are gonna be talking about a slew of long titled films. Yes. National Treasure 2, Book of Secrets, Walk Hard, the Dewey Cox story, Sweeney Todd, the Demon Barber of Fleet Street, P.S. I Love You, and Charlie Wilson's War.
That's right.
Wow, that's going to be a very tight show. Toit like a tiger.
Is that from Goldmember?
It is from Goldmember. Wow. There you go.
Are you impressed?
I am impressed with myself right now.
Why are you impressed? You didn't even say it right. I don't know.
If you would like to be impressed with us, you can head over to fatguysatthemovies.com and catch us on the web. You can also get us on iTunes. Go to the iTunes store and search Fat Guys at the Movies. You can email us, fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com. Or you can give us a call, 614-388-8735. 614-388-TREK. That's where you can call us, J.J. Abrams.
That's right. Since you don't have anything of yourself on the Lost 3 DVD,
right,
you should call us.
That ain't cool.
We'll give you more info.
So next week we'll be back rocking some movie stuff.
What?
Do you have anything to say?
What are you talking about? I'm just watching you derail.
I don't.
I'm just watching you crash and burn. It's one of my favorite hobbies.
We need to go.
All right, we'll talk to you later.
Adios.
Won't you take me to Funky Town?